Welcome back, Eagles fans. It's Lou DiBiase joining you here on another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I am back from my vacation from the week, so if you were wondering, you know, where are these Locked On Eagles podcasts this week, was on a vacation from Tuesday to today, just a little one. So we are back talking birds, though, so I'm glad to be back joining you. If you missed any of our last shows, you can always check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere, you know, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you can find podcasts. The Locked On Eagles podcast is available, so I'm very glad to be back. We're going to get into some really good stuff. Training camp now, finally, we're really getting to it. We only have 12 more days until the Eagles' first training camp, so less than 2 weeks away, the Eagles hit the field and start their defense of their 2017 Super Bowl championship, and we're going to cover it all year round, 24/7, right here on the Locked On Eagles Podcast Network. We had another show that posted today, so by the time you're listening to this, we have the other one already posted, Locked On Derek Barnett. We posted our second edition of the Locked In the Film Room podcast, courtesy of Johnny Page, who is a writer for Bleeding Green Nation, and now he's joining us right here on Locked On Eagles. He's going to be our film guy throughout the year, breaking down individual players, schemes. You know, when game previews come up, he'll be talking about the X's and O's. He's our X's and O's guy, and there was an interesting conversation on Twitter between some Eagles media members about Derek Barnett, the second-year defensive end, and whether or not what we saw in his first year is a big factor in whether he's going to take a big step in year two. Was it, you know, he did have 5.5 sacks last year. He was a big contributor on the defensive end spot, but, you know, and he was part of two of the most historic plays in Eagles history in just his rookie year. The strip sack on Case Keenum against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, and then recovering Brandon Graham's strip sack on Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. So Derek Barnett, when you think about it just off the top of your head, did he have a successful rookie year? You would think yes. Some people have went in and watched the film, and he was being guarded by tight ends and backup tight ends, which is just disrespectful for a first-round pick, so it's not like he can really control that. But he did get 33% of his sacks off of tight ends guarding him and backup offensive linemen, so did we get a big enough sample size from Derek Barnett in his rookie year to really know what he is yet? Probably not, but Johnny Page really got deep into that in the Locked On Derek Barnett podcast, which is up on our website, lockedoneagles.com, and on our podcast feed right now, so I do encourage you to go check that out after you listen to this one. Today we're going to be talking about a couple things. The former New York Giants head coach, Ben McAdoo, you probably remember him for his hair style and his recent struggles with the team getting fired after a 2-14 season. He was in the news this week discussing some of the NFC East teams, and Eagles fans did not like what he had to say, as he thinks the Eagles are not going to handle their success from 2017 well, and it's not going to translate over into their 2018 season. But first, before we get into that, Madden, this is an absolute ridiculous thing that luckily did get solved because whoever is running the Eagles Twitter account is a hero. But Tom Brady had a higher catch rate in Madden, had a better catchability status in Madden than Nick Foles. And basically anyone that's listening to this is an Eagles fan and knows exactly why this is laughable, considering Nick Foles caught the touchdown in the Super Bowl in the Philly special, whereas Tom Brady, just a drive before, had a 20-yard reception right in his hands from Danny Amendola, and he just dropped it, went right off the fingertips. Yet Tom Brady, I think his rating was a 36 when it comes to catching ability, and Nick Foles was a 33. Luckily, the Eagles Twitter account tweeted at EA Sports and said, "You have to fix this." They had a video of the Philly special in it, and Madden put like an under review stamp on the Eagles tweet, and then they approved it. So luckily Madden, they actually listened to what the Eagles Twitter account was saying. Nick Foles' catching ability is going to go up his overall in Madden, and Tom Brady's will probably stay the same, but maybe Nick Foles now is at like a 38 or a 40, or maybe, heck, just switch him. Nick Foles goes to 36 overall with catching, and Tom Brady goes to 33. But it was, how do you make a video game like EA Sports does for Madden. It's the football game. It's not like the NBA where there's 2K and NBA Live. Like, it's the game. You know, there hasn't been another good football game for, you know, a non-Madden company since non-EA Sports, since what, ESPN 2K5 with Terrell Owens on the cover? So, and you don't know about what happened in the Super Bowl, or if you do, how do you justify giving Tom Brady a higher catch ability in Madden than Nick Foles? Maybe Patriot fans are part of the staff of creating the Madden video game. We should look into it, but luckily Eagles Twitter came to the rescue. Nick Foles is going to be better catching than Tom Brady in the game, which is good because I was on the fence about buying the game. I haven't really gotten a Madden since 2016 because really outside of roster updates, what's the benefit? I mean, the features just are kind of the same every single year, at least if you ask me. But there's some new stuff, a little new thing here and there each year, but for the most part, it's been the same game, and you kind of just milk out $70 every summer for it. And I'm probably going to get it this year just because I'm, you know, the Eagles' championship victory in 2017 is, it gets everything else seem like it's more fun. You know, you know, $70 for a hat and a shirt from NFL.com. Sign me up at this point, considering, you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl and you're riding high with it. So, but I thought that was a funny story today. Whoever is running the Eagles Twitter account, props to you. Before we get into what Ben McAdoo was talking about with the Eagles, and he did have some responses from some players and from media members who just, I think, torched him. He just got torn to shreds today. He did not have a good day after that comment. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you guys about Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, which is pretty good. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com, and you can get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, CODE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code is CODE, all caps CODE, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast. Let's get into what Ben McAdoo, former New York Giants head coach, said about the Philadelphia Eagles today. He was talking about the NFC East. You know, he thinks the Redskins are going to be the Redskins. He thinks the Cowboys, I think he has a point here. Their defense, their players are always getting into trouble. They have a young defensive backfield. Sean Lee is always hurt. So he makes some good points about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not gonna defend the Cowboys for Ben McAdoo. But when it came to the Eagles and talking about why he thinks the New York Giants, the team that fired him, maybe he's putting some pressure on Pat Shurmur. I don't know. Maybe that's his ulterior motive, but he did think the Giants are the favorite to win the NFC East this year. When he was talking about the Eagles, he said, quote, "I think Philly, how much success has Philly had? I think they're going to have a hard time handling success this year." So Ben McAdoo does not think the Eagles are going to have a lot of success in 2018 because of the fact that they won a championship. So not only, it's not that, you know, they're different players. Carson Wentz is back after a torn ACL. Maybe he's not the same. Can Nick Foles repeat what he did last year if Carson Wentz comes back? It's no. I don't think they're going to handle their success well, which just seems irresponsible to make a claim like that, considering you have no idea the culture of the locker room, the type of players the Eagles have. To make a claim that, yeah, I don't think Jason Kelce is going to handle the success he had in 2017 really well. It's like, how do you assume that? And it's probably all because of their culture. You know, it's because they seem like it's not the Patriot way. You know, they've gone out and pretty much griped against the Patriots. Lane Johnson coming out and saying like everyone's miserable in New England and no one, it's not about having fun there. And that's with Philly. Maybe Philly has this vibe now or this reputation of being just loose and maybe just reckless? I don't know. It just seems like maybe people don't think the Eagles are running a tight ship and everyone's just out there having fun and they got a bunch of high-rated characters, and I just think maybe that's the reputation right now, and Ben McAdoo sees that, because if you are not in the locker room, how do you know how some of these guys are going to handle success after a championship win? I don't know. I guess it's probably just the season to be picking on the Super Bowl champs in the media. It's the dead period, and people know that the Eagles listen, given Jason Kelly's J excuse me, Jason Kelce's speech at the parade. So why not get a little publicity out of it? The CBS NFL analyst the other day that got called out by Lane Johnson because he picked the Eagles to miss the playoffs this year in its entirety. So no, there's nothing going on in the NFL right now. Philly's a big target because they just won a championship, and people know they can push the fans' buttons, because Philly Twitter, they're gonna come after you if you talk bad about the team. They're all over it. So not just with the Eagles, but with the Sixers, the Phillies, and the Flyers. So the media, guys like the NFL analysts on CBS and Ben McAdoo can get a little publicity out of it and make a bold claim, and there's no bad publicity really when you think about it. That's why guys like Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless have so much success, because even if you hate what they're saying, you still go back and listen to them just because you want to hear what they say next and how badly you disagree. So to me, I'm not really putting too much thought into it. I think they're just making claims like this because they're bored and there's nothing else to talk about and they need ratings to go up. So that's not what Ben McAdoo's motive probably is, but it's definitely what it was for that CBS NFL analyst. But Jalen Mills basically shrugged off McAdoo's comments like he should have, and I think McAdoo has to be a little jealous, right? Probably Doug Peterson, the head coach for the Eagles, he was hired the same year as McAdoo. And McAdoo 2 years ago was seen as, that new, fresh, successful coach. He just took the Giants to an 11-5 season. They made the playoffs. After Tom Coughlin, who got fired, won two Super Bowls with the Giants, they were struggling to make the playoffs consistently. They would make it and then miss for 2 years, make it again, miss for three. There was just too much inconsistency with Tom Coughlin. McAdoo takes over basically the same roster. It gets to 11-5. Everyone's saying, it was all because of McAdoo. He took that offense to new heights. And he goes from that basically to now he's unemployed. And Doug Peterson is now seen as, the new, fresh, young coach of the NFL that's going to be one of the best for years to come. And he's a Super Bowl champion now, and he's probably the best play caller in the NFL. So there's got to be a little bit of jealousy going on with McAdoo, if you ask me. And it's crazy how close it could have been. The Eagles wanted Ben McAdoo. He was one of their top choices. They were ready to roll out the red carpet for him after they fired Chip Kelly at the end of that 2015 season. So, Doug Peterson, he played for the Eagles. He was an assistant coach with Andy Reid, so he came through the Eagles coaching tree and was with the team for a while. But let's be real, he was not their first choice. Ben McAdoo was probably their first choice. And thank God that didn't happen, because it could be a lot different right now if Ben McAdoo ended up being the Eagles coach. I don't think he makes the type of calls that Doug Peterson made, in the Super Bowl, going for it on 4th and 1 in their own territory in the fourth quarter, down one in the Super Bowl to the new, going up against the New England Patriots. That's something to me one or two people would do as head coaches, and Doug Peterson's one of them. So I'm, we got to be lucky that Ben McAdoo didn't end up being the Eagles coach, but I bet you there's a little bit of jealousy going on there too with McAdoo. I don't think you have to be worried about this Eagles team getting, too limelight driven. I don't think there's any room for complacency in this team. Do you think Jason Peters, let's think about all the guys that went down with injuries last year. Jason Peters, Carson Wentz, Darren Sproles, Jordan Hicks. You think guys like them, veterans like Jason Peters, who's 37 or 36 years old now, who wants to win a ring playing? Because let's be real, Wentz, Peters, Sproles, Hicks, they all have their rings from this season, but when you're not on the field contributing to the championship team, it doesn't carry the same amount of weight if Wentz was under center leading the Eagles to a Super Bowl. So you think those guys are going to let this team get complacent? guys like Jalen Mills, who was a seventh round pick, had to work for everything. People are still calling for, you know, Sidney Jones, Ronald Darby, Rasul Douglas. Everyone else is being talked about, and Jalen Mills just continues to go out there and prove people wrong. How about Corey Clement, undrafted free agent last year, undrafted rookie, who the Eagles kept on the roster? They kept five running backs, but remember, it was Donnell Pumphrey that was supposed to be the guy. The Eagles took him in the fourth round. They had, it was supposed to be, you know, a mix of LeGarrette Blount, Darren Sproles. They kept Wendell Smallwood, and then eventually Donnell Pumphrey was supposed to have a big role. He was essentially, Corey Clement being the receiving running back he is now for the Eagles, that was supposed to be Donnell Pumphrey's role. So Corey Clement now steps in. He's an undrafted rookie. You think he's going to, you know, get too star driven next year? He's going to be all about the limelight? I don't think so. What about guys in contract years like Jay Ajayi, Ronald Darby, Brandon Graham? Those guys have a lot to lose this year if they don't play well and if the Eagles don't have a lot of success. And let's go to the main one. I did a podcast on him a couple days ago, Nelson Agholor. You think Nelson Agholor is going to let his success go to his head after he had the worst start to an NFL career that I've ever seen in those first two seasons. You think Nelson Agholor, after his big third year, is suddenly going to revert back to his tendencies from 2015 and 2016? It doesn't seem likely. You know, you heard Jason Kelce. This team is a bunch of underdogs, regardless of their achievements on the field. This is the one team I would never think gets lazy or suffer from a Super Bowl hangover. Maybe if it was the team like, let's go back to 2011 with the Dream Team Eagles, you know, with Cullen Jenkins, Jason Babin, Nnamdi Asamoah, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, and you had the big personalities like DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Michael Vick. That is a team I could see that maybe after winning, if they pretty much accomplished what people were predicting them to in the summer of 2011, basically picking them to unseat the Packers and win the Super Bowl, if they would have ended up achieving that, that's a team I could say, you know, yeah, they would not be surprised if they had a hangover type in the following season, missing the playoffs or so. But this team, when you lose as much as they did in 2017 and you add that all back, and you have veterans like Malcolm Jenkins and now Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, it just, Carson Wentz too, in only his third year, but the way he, you know, came back this summer, because you can just tell how motivated he is. He wants to be the guy to lead the Eagles to another Super Bowl. He is the proclaimed franchise quarterback, the face of the franchise. You know, he's supposed to be the guy for the next 10, 15 years. And he says that, you know, he fought back the feelings when Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, but that lit a fire under Carson Wentz that he didn't get to be the guy to finish the job, despite being an MVP candidate, leading the Eagles basically to a first-round bye. That was all on him. I give him all the credit for that. He didn't get to finish it because he tore his ACL. And you know, forget it. If Jason Peters didn't get hurt, Jordan Hicks, Darren Sproles, whatever, if it was just on Carson Wentz to make sure this team didn't have a Super Bowl hangover, I would put my chips on the side of that, of the Eagles being just fine, making the playoffs. And with how loaded this roster is, I don't think Ben McAdoo sounds very credible so far this week. But I thought it was an interesting topic. A lot of Eagles media is getting to it today and really getting on McAdoo. I don't think I've seen one person that's come to his defense. It seems like an uneducated opinion, and it just seems like someone that's maybe a little salty about his own situation because he was fired by the Giants, maybe a little envious about Doug Peterson. I just think, Ben McAdoo, your hairstyle already really gives you a bad look in NFL circles, and your comments now about the NFC East. You know, I'll give you the Dallas Cowboys one. You're right about the Redskins. They're always the Redskins, and they're probably going to end up just going 6-10, 7-9 with Alex Smith this year, but your Philly take is subpar at best. This team is not missing the playoffs. I don't see a Super Bowl hangover coming just because of how this team is built. It's just, even Doug Peterson, he was coaching in high school. You know, he was coaching high school football less than 10 years ago. He was basically just a specialist coach for the Eagles starting in 2010. He was no one's first choice as a head coach hire in 2015. You know, even the Eagles. The Eagles wanted Ben McAdoo more than Doug Peterson. Howie Roseman let's just think about the general manager. Lost power to Chip Kelly in 2015, was moved to the other side of the building, had no control over player personnel anymore. He comes back, is now one of the best front office executives in the NFL. Everyone that's on this Eagles team that is so significant to the function of it, to the Super Bowl victory last year, everyone basically that had such a huge part of it has come from tough obstacles, and it's not a team that I'm going to bet money on to get complacent and to basically just, you know, crap the bed this year. It's not going to happen. The lowest I could see this team right now is at a 10-6 type season, with depending on how slow Carson Wentz is to come back from his injury, although he looks really good throughout the summer, and maybe there's a little rust to get off in the first couple weeks. There, to me, this team is going to be contending for championships for the next 5 to 7 years with how this roster is built, and it's not going to stop in 2018, if you ask me. That'll do it for today's Locked On Eagles podcast, available on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Louis DiBiase. Glad to be back on the microphone. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll continue to roll 4 to 5 days a week. We got training camp kicking off July 25th, and a few notes for Eagles training camp for the fans. If you want to go down and watch the Eagles, August 5th and August 11th, the Eagles are holding open practices to fans. So I'll definitely be there. I'm planning on going August 11th. So if any fans want to hit me up, maybe meet at some of the practices, at DiBiase LOE is where you can find me. And if you have any suggestions for the show, what you want to hear us talk about next, maybe for Johnny Page and his Locked On the Film Room segments. He did Derek Barnett today. If you want to hear him focus in on a player, you can hit him up at JohnnyPage9. And just follow us on Twitter and hit up our website at LockedOnEagles.com. So that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, and let's go Birds.